Leafs talk, JD Buckus, Sam McKee. Leafs needed that one, buddy, and I'm going to start with this. Today on my podcast, I said that the Leafs need Austin Matthews to step up. They need him to be a leader, and I think he gave him an awesome example of that tonight. That is Austin Matthews' leadership, is scoring goals, providing energy, dominating the third period, and ripping one of the sexier ones that you're ever going to see, as Bob Cole would say, up where the mama hides the cookies. Big night for Austin Matthews. Big night for the Leafs to make sure that they don't go into a four-game losing streak.
It's only three games, bud. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's only three games, buddy. We're a good team. We can dig our way out of this. What's the big deal?
Hey, kudos to them, man. They went down three times in this hockey game, and they dug their way out. All the things that needed to happen tonight happened, for me anyways. It was like power play finally found a way to get on the score sheet. Nylander broke his slump, and granted, it's on a beautiful play by Max Domi, who needs to be more involved now that John Tavares is out. Yeah. And Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, two guys that have been criticized, two guys that people are clamoring for to break up, absolutely kicked the devil's teeth in for the final period of that hockey game and kind of showed me something tonight.
Yeah, I was texting with our mutual friend Neil Jolly at the start of the third period, and I was saying that the Leafs need their world-class players to be world-class players in this third period, and that's what happened. You know, you had Austin Matthews, who, you know, I don't think anybody's going to say that he's Mr. Vocal Leader, that he's going to be the rah-rah guy that goes in the media and calls out his team or does whatever. He's just rushing through every availability as fast as he possibly can. He has to do his talking on the ice, and I thought he was brilliant in that third period. To be quite honest with you, I thought the Leafs were really good for most of this night. I thought
they controlled the play.
I thought that
I'd say the first they started a little flat. Second, there wasn't too much. They were the better team.
For 90% of this game, they were the better team. They outshot the Devils by a pretty wide margin. And even throughout the winning streak that they had, dating back to those two games against the Islanders, the two games against the Flyers, this is their best game in a really long time. Like, you, I guess you can talk about the one against the Bruins on the Saturday night where they played well, but I felt like they were really, really good tonight against a better team, and they controlled the play. Markstrom made a bunch of great saves, or this could have been a little bit more. It might not even have gotten overtime if they hadn't had Markstrom in there. So, impressive game tonight for me. I got to tell you, bud, I needed this one. The fans needed this. The guys needed this. Like, the coaches, everybody involved, they needed this. The power play gets a goal. It just feels like everybody can kind of exhale here and go into a Saturday night against the Habs where you're not down on yourself.
But, buddy, this is – okay, so there's a couple things to this. One is I loved the urgency in the third period, especially after the Leafs tied the game, that they didn't just go like, okay, cool, we're going to get the point. Let's just get it to overtime. Let's play conservative. They just basically had – the Devils on their back foot. They had them on their back foot for most of the period, and they continued that style of play till the very end. And you're right. There were a couple of saves there to close the third period that Markstrom had to make to get the Devils a point. It felt like they were clinging on for dear life.
The low blocker snapper across body from Marner from the far circle, that missed by a millimeter. That easily could have got in with 20 seconds left and the game's over. So yeah, you're right.
So that, but you know who really needed it? The guys who said, what's the big deal? Because if you say, what's the big deal, you got to go out and play with urgency. And this is what the fans have been talking about. This is what you and I have been talking about. Like, you should be making no apologies if you've been critical of the Leafs over the last three games, because it's like, that's what it looks like when a team gives a crap, throws the old Peter Horacek give a crap meter into overdrive and actually tries their asses off. In a third period, they were the better team. They imposed their will, and they gave a damn good effort tonight. So kudos to them. But, God, they needed it more than anybody, because you can't be out there saying, what's the big deal, and then have it turn into four and be facing the media again. So those guys are taking the biggest exhale.
Yeah, they really are. Like that, you know, that the 24-hour media cycle of what's the big deal was not a great one for everybody involved. And, do I think Willie was excellent tonight? I would not say that he was close to excellent, but when two enter the net in a big spot, great cross, the pass from Domi, and that's a really high degree of difficulty. Same side, one timer up in the corner. Unbelievable pass by Marner in overtime. Catches everybody sleeping tape to tape, puts him in on the breakaway, and he fires it in. So two huge goals for Willie. I don't think he's necessarily was great for other parts of the night. He had a brutal turnover on the power play that led to the But like, that's kind of it with Nylander. Like, you're not going to have him be great every single night, but you need the production out of him. And a lot of the reason the Leafs haven't looked very good for a long stretch here is because they haven't been getting production out of one of their top paid guys, one of the guys that makes the most money, because they need this out of him. And lo and behold, the night where he shoots two in the net, they find a way to win. Like, this is what they need from him. This is the level. This is what they need. And he goes out and he gives you a couple big goals. So good on him. He rose to the occasion from the criticism, like idiots like me, and he fires two in the net and they get the win. So good for him. Two big ones.
I will say with his game right now, I think that it's like, it's interesting that Berube mentioned the confidence. Like, what was that, a week ago? Right? When this kind of...
Sorry, we're just watching on Sportsnet Plus on YouTube. Just quickly before you go on, I said that was an unbelievable pass. I didn't see that angle. That is just atrocious defensive coverage by...
No, it's terrible.
Oh my God.
I think the Devils thought that like Marner was just looking to change and was just going to hold it because they were at the end of a pretty long shift to start the overtime period. Horrible. And they just fell asleep and gave that one to him. So I like with Nylander's game right now, what I'm seeing anyways, because like I've been pretty hyper fixated on him recently. Like, I thought he was pretty dreadful in the first. And yeah, the turnover that he has on the power play to cause the like Mitch Marner hook that, you know, kills the momentum of that unit. And you get to see it with Bobby Mann. No, you don't. It's 20 seconds in. What I'm seeing right now is just a guy that is not creating as much space for himself. Like,
not using his legs.
Yeah.
Like, when he's at his best, he's driving the defense back with his pace and with his confidence and with like his, you know, those tight turns. And he's a demon in the offensive zone, in transition, on the zone entries. And it just feels like he doesn't have the puck a ton. Doesn't feel like he's transporting the puck as much as he usually does. And that's leading to him not really touching it a ton.
But also just not enough north, like too much east-west from him. Yeah. That's resulting in guys being able to kind of like get on his hip and then force those turnovers because it feels like he's somebody that's doing too much. And that to me is a player who is slumping. And that is a player to me that is struggling with a little bit of confidence where they're just not doing the things that they normally do. And yeah, man, it was big for him to score two goals tonight because having that contract, brother.
Exactly.
And you say what's the big deal, and you're in the slump and you've been playing extremely poorly and people are looking at you as public enemy number one in terms of guy that should be essentially getting a little bit of the stick instead of the carrot. And so he pops two of them and he can take that breath of fresh air. But I want to highlight a little bit too on the first goal that he scores, because again, both plays, one is Marner catching a defense falling asleep, but the other one is just like relentless pursuit by Max Domi. And they showed this awesome little clip of him working on his behind the net passing before the game. Nice little dime pass. But here's the thing, man, Max Domi, huge spot for you, brother. You've done zilch this season in reality. Like, I think that if you pulled 100% of Leaf fans, what would the approval rating of Max Domi's season be, even with him having that last name and most people acknowledging that like he really truly cares about being a Toronto Maple Leaf? I don't think it would be very high. The big spot for him, dude, Tavares is likely going to be out for more than a month. I was talking to Kipper about it today. I'm sure you did the same. The injury is not one that's just going to be a week with him on IR.
He mentioned post Four Nation faceoff today on the show. So that's a while here.
So this is a spot for Max Domi where he's going to have to make a few more plays like this. He's going to get an opportunity to play with a skilled guy like Nylander, take advantage of him or set it up and have a lot more plays like this tonight.
I think that line has potential to really work. I don't think it's a long-term solution, but for the next month, I think McMahon, Nylander, and Domi, it's a line that has great pace. I can go up and down the ice. I mean, it's not exactly
a flash at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's not exactly, I'm trying to think of the best defensive line of all time to make a joke, but it's not going to, you know, really wow you defensively. What was that fourth line the Ducks had with Rob Niedermeyer?
Danny Paulson, right? Robbie Niedermeyer,
and Travis Moen. That was the line right there. It's not going to be that line.
Buddy, I'll never forget. I owe them my life. I lived in Ottawa when that finals happened. I can tell you all the beats of that series. I owe you forever. Those guys are heroes to me. I take my hat off when those guys come on a TV screen. But
this line's not going to give you a ton defensively, but they're good in transition, fast, all skilled guys. And you're right. And like Berube was talking about, earlier today in the with Domi, that you gotta win more battles and get to the better areas and just get into the middle and find different ways to score. What does he do on that play? wins two battles, finds the puck, gets it right into the middle of the ice where they haven't been able to get over this pass a little bit, lands on your sharpshooter stick, and he shoots it in the top corner of the net to tie the game. It's a really great play by Domi. And like you said, it's a massive opportunity for him. And on the first night here, I'd say he looked pretty good. I'd say he really, really popped tonight. So good for him.
Other thing, let's pull the power play where they actually score show, because there's one thing of kind of note to me. And I was looking for it today because did you see Bourne's tweet about Draisaitl?
No, I didn't.
So Borny was just posted a tweet watching the Oilers game.
I just get Elon Musk tweets in my for you page. I don't get any of my actual friends' tweets. I just get like Elon Musk and disaster tweets. That's it. Yeah,
Elon and things that make me mad.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I get.
That's the For You page on Twitter. But I kind of noted this. If you watch that Oilers power play, you watch Draisaitl, if you go look at Justin Bourne's Twitter, it's like up there right now. He's kind of mentioning all the movement on that Oilers power play and how much like a guy like Draisaitl skates and moves around. Yeah. And what I liked about this one is like, hey, Bobby McMahon's getting his opportunity on the power play. And the guy like skates and moves and gets into a spot and creates that, like that tip towards the net. And then Matthews and Knies are both just there on the doorstep, go for the ugly goal, beat their guys to spots and hammer the puck in. And I'm like, it's really not that hard.
Like, no, it's listen, there have been teams that have good players doing this for 100 years now. It's really not like the recipe isn't right that hard. And as much as it's gotta really hurt if you're Morgan Rielly watching 74 go over the boards in the top power play unit over you making 7.5 schmil. Well, that's a different story for a different day. But
well, I think it's a little bit of a story for today, actually.
No, I just meant like maybe did later in the show.
Well, I think it's pertinent here. Like you're now like, what is Morgan Rielly in terms of, like, when does he, what number is he of guys that go down before he's on that first power play again?
I guess next one, maybe? I don't know.
Are you sure it's not Domi?
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Like, I'm not sure it's not Oliver Ekman-Larsson either. Like, I'm just really not sure.
Rielly play better in the third? Like, he had a couple of moments where it was like he was jumping up in the rush and he was kind of doing Morgan Rielly things, but... Mm-hmm. Another night for him where I was just like, God, bunch of just not goods.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I texted you this, but my my plot on Myers Island, like it's a brush fire right now. It's undevelopable land. The land is, you cannot develop on my land right now. There's a brush fire. It's not ready.
Myers gets beat to the net on the second power play goal.
It's a brain dead play in the first one where he's like going up ice for no reason, leaving Jack Hughes wide open in the front of the net. Yeah.
Can we play this though?
That pairing is leaving a lot to be desired right now.
Morgan Rielly has time and space, and instead of skating it up, it's like, yeah, I guess it's like you've got Steven Lorenz who stretches the zone a bit there and he tries to fire up a puck to him, which I don't love the pass. I don't know. Like,
no, it's an absolute grenade into the feet of a guy that's in the midst of a battle.
It's Steven Lorenz there and it's just, it's not a good play, but look at where Myers is. Like if you're playing with Morgan Rielly and you're auditioning for the role of big physical right shot D beside him, you know what job number one is? Don't not let this. That happen.
Where are you going?
Like, what do you think you're gonna do? He's just dying for a clapper up there. He's like, I want to join the rush and shoot a puck like 10 feet wide of the boards, Dion style. That just made me sick. I was like, man, you can't be doing this. Like, you got to just keep it absolutely simple. Can never let those guys get behind you. So sorry for your island, but I don't think they do flights over there anymore.
No, it's a no flight zone.
Yeah. It's like, if you live there, you're trapped there. Sorry.
Oh, well, anyways. Yeah. So we were talking about the power play. We moved into that. We can move on from that. What do you want to go through next?
I don't have really any other major talking points. Cause like I said, I think we kind of hit on everything big. I just think like the OEL would probably be the last one, which is the two bad penalties. And I have a nickname for OEL. It's not going to be scratch and score, but so can we roll the first one that he takes? It's like, this is an obvious penalty by him. And he starts to do his arguing, which you and I talked about yesterday. And he's mad and he's doing the thing. And I thought to myself,
VB? Is it VB?
No, I think that his nickname should be the lawyer because he's just always arguing. It's like, he's in court and he'll battle. Like, he is not afraid to approach the bench.
I went with VB, the victim blamer.
Yeah.
He's a big victim blamer. He just, all he ever does is just trips a guy and then blames a guy for diving.
Yeah, that's it.
He did it again tonight, twice.
But just gets right in the official's face. He's complaining. And it was funny because on the broadcast, they rolled it back and they're like, surely he's complaining about something else. And then there was nothing else. It's like, it's that. It's, he's complaining about that. And it's like, he makes a lot of plays with his stick, and it bit him in the ass tonight because he took two of them. The second one's way worse, where it's like
way worse.
The lawyer actually doesn't even start talking, doesn't even present his case.
No case presented.
No erroneous case there. He just knows. He's like, God, that one sucks. This one's bad. Yeah. We just got a goal. This is in the offensive zone. And then, of course, the puck ends up in the back of the net. The Devils score, I think, both times on his penalties, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was
they scored the go-ahead goal. They scored the go-ahead goal twice on his power plays.
Yeah, so he's got to clean that up. Can't have that, obviously, especially the second one. The first one I'm not like so broken up about. It's like guys battling with the stick along the boards, kind of player stick trips on the stick. The second one's brutal. But yeah, lawyer, clean it up.
They kind of need more from him. He had a really great start to the year, and you know, we had some texts from certain people in Vancouver that are just like, just wait. And I was like, no, I'm not going to just wait. He's been great. And I do think that it's dipped pretty good here with him.
I actually like him tonight.
I think they need more offensively from him. They really do. He had a couple chances tonight.
That's what I liked about his game tonight.
He snapped a couple for sure, missed the net. But like they get nothing from their decor. And it's well documented. And they're last in the league in goals from their decor. You know, you don't win like that. You need some production from back there. Every time the puck goes back to the point, there's no creativity. No one ever makes a play with it. It's either just into a shin pad, miss the net, you know, turnover, bad pass. Like, it's really a bit of a chopper decor right now. And they're dying for some creativity back there. And Oliver Ekman-Larsson is one of the guys to me that needs to do it. And so is Morgan Riley. Why he makes $7.5 million. They need that sort of production, that creativity from him on the back end, and it just hasn't been there.
Yeah, I thought tonight he was, outside of the penalties, that he was solid. Yeah. And I like where he tries to set up, like where he pinches to in the O zone.
And he's got a good feel. His body doesn't always let him get to where he needs to be at times, but he definitely has a good feel offensively, where like he'll make the right reads. Sometimes he gets caught. Sometimes he gets caught and takes a bad penalty, be like he did tonight. But like, I do trust his reads. I just think I don't know. Maybe they're just playing him a ton. Look
at where he's shooting too. It's like he has purpose with his offense too, right?
For sure, no question.
Like so many of these guys, where it's like they're just kind of sending it towards the net, hoping for a tip, which is fine. He's like trying to pick it on a lot of his shots. So I don't know. I thought that it was a tough game for him in terms of the penalties, but I liked the way that it feels like he's the kind of guy that actually is a little threatening here on the blue line, and I do think that by the end of the year, a couple of these ones are going to start to go in for him. And by the way, player of the game, 65% Matthews, should be 100% Matthews. Like, it's 100% Matthews.
Which Marner's pretty good tonight, too. He should be second.
Marner was good. Marner being below Nylander in the player of the game poll is wrong. Marner, Matthews, those two guys, awesome, awesome, awesome. I will say, too, like, they threw Jake McCabe. What a difference Jake McCabe makes. Even that big
hit. That was my next thing to get to.
Yeah. Like, God, it's just, you miss that so much. Just having that bumper back there and that just all reliable.
Dude, he was unbelievable tonight. 2 assists, plus 3, 5 shots, 2 hits, 5 block shots, 24 minutes ice time. Like, he did not miss a beat. When he skates off, when he goes off the ice a week and a half ago where his visor's fogged up and he can barely stand up, you weren't picturing this a week and a half later. Like, he was just himself. Him and Tanev right back to it. I don't know if I probably should have told show, but you're probably going to know the thing I was talking about. That play where it's like kind of a 2-on-1 and Tanev kind of gets caught up ice, gets on his horse, gets back, denies a 2-on-1. McCabe makes the right read, steps up, puck goes out the other way. It's just these two guys together are excellent. They're so good. And if you could just like get anything out of Riley, it would just, you'd be in such great shape defensively with this team. If you're giving you what you're supposed to
play 18 reliable minutes, dude.
Yes. Like you'd be like, I don't know what it ended up, but at one point tonight, I didn't keep track of it, but it like after the first goal, Sportsnet stats, who was on one tonight, they were putting out some anti-Leaf stuff tonight, but boy, they were hot. But I think they were getting outscored 10-1 in the last 10 games at 5-on-5 with Morgan Riley on the ice. Like, that was before this game. So, I mean, it's just they need so much more from him. And, like, with that top pair, the way they look, and he played 24 tonight. Riley did. Yeah. And, like, Timmins played 13 and Myers played 15. There's a clear differentiating here who's not playing and who is. But, God, having McKay back, man, I that contract is so good. Dude, like that contract is unbelievable. He should not have taken that contract.
I have two thoughts on him. One is just like from tonight, because it was a Keefe game, right? So I was like reflecting on old Leafs and watching the Devils play and thinking about them stylistically and all this different. And I was like, man, McCabe's probably Dubas's best move.
Without question. There is no, like, I guess
well, drafting, the other one would be drafting Nyes.
But that's it. But that's, I mean, that's not a transaction. That's like a scouting thing. That's like a whole team effort to draft Nyes. You can't give full credit to Dubas for that one. You give full credit to Dubas. Go ahead.
Sure. I think that, didn't they get a first for Kapanen?
Yeah. And then they traded it right away for somebody bad.
No, I think that was the Rodion Amarov pick.
Was it? Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that they might have done that. So it's like getting a first for Kapanen is crazy work.
That was a tidy piece of business right there.
Yeah, that's
playing pretty well for the Oilers right now. I don't know if he's still in the line.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just saying that if you're looking at like the pantheon of Dubas, that's got to be your number one. Like, that's the real tip of the cap. Like, damn, that's an amazing trade. And because like that guy's so good. Like, by the way, that hit, if you roll it one more time, show. My favorite part about the hit is not the hit itself. It's the fan who stands up right in front of it and is just fired up that he's sitting at the glass for a Jake McCabe. Just
You're not allowed to not bang the glass if someone hammers you. Oh, so, yeah,
it's awesome. I'm like, yeah, that's your dream for the night. That's a true fan who's like, yes, Jake McCabe. Yes, a big hit right in front of me. Perfect.
Do you want to read that there? Kapanen was traded by the Maple Leafs back to the Pittsburgh Penguins, along with Pontus Aberg, who had a stint on the top line with the Toronto Maple Leafs, Jesper Lindgren in exchange for Philip Hollander, David Warofsky, and Pittsburgh's first-round pick in the 2020 draft. Yeah. They took Rodion Amarov, that poor kid. Yeah. That's just such a horrible story, man. God, time I think about that. But, yeah,
of course,
it was awful, a fleece. But... What a job to get a first for. That's a good trade.
Yeah, I forgot about Pontus Aberg too.
He played in the top line for a minute.
Yeah.
Go to Tyler Ennis.
Oh, okay. So watch this hit and then watch the fan.
Yeah.
Gives it he's the only one that stands up. I'm like, that guy's sitting amongst the suits quiet all night and he's wearing his 34 jersey. He just stands up and gives it a fist pump. I love that stuff. I love that passion. Okay. So last thing for me from this game.
Yeah.
You know who I thought was good?
Who?
Speaking of Aubergs or Bergs, is Holmberg.
Oh, and the offer sheet back on tonight.
Dude, he had a bunch of, I didn't ask Show to clip him, but he had a bunch of like tidy entries tonight. He had a play around the net where it was like he used his body to just basically get himself to the net front and create a high danger opportunity.
Yeah.
I liked him tonight. I went, good for you. You deserve a little tip of the cap for the way that you played this evening.
Played 13-20 tonight. I thought he was noticeable in his minutes. The thing is, it's like he knows he's on the block here. He sees Minton get called up.
Sure.
Minton doesn't play tonight. They want to get him back up to speed. Pretty sure that Minton's going to be going into the lineup here pretty soon. Maybe not on Saturday. Don't change a winning lineup.
No, you're leaving the lineup.
But I do think that that's pretty imminent, his return to the lineup here at some point. So Aberg, no, not Aberg.
No, but
Holmberg knows that he has to play well to stay in the lineup. And like, listen, I mean, earlier in the year, Berube was like all over him. He was playing him on like the top line. He was playing him with Willie for part of the year. I guess that was out of necessity because the whole bottom six was out. But like, he was really enamored with him for a little while. So good for him tonight. Looked noticeable tonight. I thought, you know, that line is not my favorite line in the history of hockey. Did Max Pacioretty play tonight? One big hit. Outside of that, not so noticeable. Feels like it's the grind of a season's getting to an old guy that hasn't played a ton. He doesn't have that same sting in his game that he did earlier in the year. So hopefully he can kind of sit down and get back in the lineup and kind of get that sting back a bit. But yeah, Holmberg good tonight.
Nothing else for me.
No wall talk.
I thought he was solid. The one goal, like, you'd like a save there, but he's also screened. It's a bit of a Like, you want Timmons to save, Flamingo. But also you understand why it went in. So yeah. Didn't love it, but it does feel like, if you really want my wool take, it's like recently it feels like a baddie goes in with a much higher frequency than they used to. But overall, just like solid. There was a moment where it was like he had let in two goals on, I think, like 12 shots, and that didn't look pretty. But by the end of the game, it kind of normalized and made a couple of them late. So fine, but not excellent. Like kind of like a B minus start, I would say.
Yep. And our sweet Prince Stolar's back in the ice doing drills. So we look forward to seeing him back in net. I don't know when that'll be, but seeing him back on the ice really made my heart warm today. So that's good.
I was thrilled.
Really, really happy. Yeah. Really happy.
Like, I was quite happy to see that development because, you and I were predicting after Four Nations as well that they would use the time, but I don't know. That doesn't seem like it's a timeline anymore. Looks like he's going to be back earlier than we anticipated.
So just to kind of just my last thought to sort of wrap this up.
Yeah.
It's crazy how big those two Matthews goals felt tonight.
Massive. Like,
you get going into four straight losses here, heading into Hockey Day in Canada against a Habs team who, let's face it here, they're resurgent. Like, they've been playing really well. That Lane Hudson, like, they really look like they have some potential to be a good team faster than we were all making fun of them for. They're coming in on, or you're going into their building on Saturday night, slumping. They're all horned up. That crowd's all over you. You know what it's like in Montreal on a Saturday night, Leafs Habs. This is a huge win for the Leafs tonight. And like, to get it against Sheldon Keefe, sweep Sheldon Keefe. Like, I'm sure the boys feel pretty good after this one. And they deserve, like, I know I've been very critical of them over the past three games, and I think it's been deserved. But full credit to them tonight. They played an awesome game, and they deserve the full 2 points.
God, that really goal's so game. Nice. It's the same goal that he picks the short side just like he did against Jake Ottinger. But that window is like, Jake Ottinger gave him the whole side. Like, he was forced
there
to do that.
Nothing there.
Yeah,
falling away under the bar. World-class third period from the Leafs Stars. Impressive win. Really that's impressive
like,
win.
You know those little kids games where it's like a little box and you have to put the square in the square hole, the triangle in the triangle hole? It's like teaches kids about like shapes.
Know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
That was that goal where it was like that area was the puck.
You know, for all the fathers and mothers watching this, those things are like the number one most stepped on thing in households where it's one of those like it's like one of those triangle things. That's like pointing upwards. That's like wood. And you're just walking around and you step on it. That or Lego. Like a toy car or a Lego.
Nah, Lego.
I guess kids still do Lego.
Yeah, Lego is everywhere. It's still super hot in the streets. And also it's just like the Lego cleanup is the thing that's just like
it's a nightmare.
They're little assassins.
They're hiding everywhere.
The Lego is everywhere, dude. Kids are menaces. They just leave their stuff like you gotta have them pick it up. But even if they do it, the attention to detail with the Legos is not 100%. Like, I can't imagine, like, if you've got a carpet, you got a Lego just hiding in the weed.
Oh, yeah. It's just ready to jump out at you.
Yeah. Like, no. That's a nightmare. Anyway,
off the rails. Hey, man. Feels good to just not have to crap all night here. Better. God.
It's nice to have it. Four losses in a row, especially one where if they would have lost, haven't outplayed the Devils, because that's the ones where you come on and you're like, well.
What do we say here? No, anyways, good stuff, buddy. Big one on Saturday night. Hockey Day in Canada. Leafs Habs with two teams. Habs actually playing pretty well, so it should be a fun one Saturday.
Well, I just like that the Habs are playing for something because it's like you can take something away from, you know?
Yep.
So, like, bring the rivalry back. There's kind of fun potential for the Battle of Ontario. Maybe ends up being a playoff series this year. Habs resurgent. You know, starting to matter a little bit more
right now. This don't want to date it too hard, but Habs leading the Stars 2-1 in the third period in Dallas tonight.
And I hate that. I actually bet on the Stars, but
big out of town scoreboard check in from your boy here.
Yeah, that's good.
Detroit Red Wings hammer the Florida Panthers tonight 5-2. So Leafs gain a little gain of ground in the Atlantic. So good night for the Leafers.
Tom McClellan's kind of what I thought Craig Berube was going to be.
McClellan is lighting Detroit on fire. They can't lose.
They're going to build a Todd McClellan statue there.
Justin Hall is brutal. He's telling him he's brutal.
He was power horrible play got tonight. Fixed immediately. Calling
the power
guys
play was always the best. Their power play is always the best. The reason I know that is because I went to Detroit. Keegan's like, literally, our only good thing is a power play.
So they've been good. Him, that's for sure. Anyway, follow us on Instagram, Petey Bunkus, at Sammy McKee. Subscribe to the podcast. Hit the thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. Leave a comment. Do those things. Hit us up anytime, and we'll see you Saturday night. So watch this hit and then watch the fan.
Yeah.
Gives it just he's the only one that stands up. I'm like, that guy's sitting amongst the suits quiet all night, and he's wearing his 34 jersey. He just stands up and gives it a fist pump. I love that stuff. I love that passion.